Well, good morning again. Good morning to those here. By the way, there's plenty of room up here if anybody wants to work your way down to the front. And good morning to the saints that are perhaps watching live stream. Greetings to you. May the grace of God bring healing. We're going to be back in Colossians chapter 3 today. It's been too long since I was here. It's been a month. So I'm excited to be back in Colossians 3 for our dear friends who've come a long way and guests, or those who've come from close distances. I've been going through the book of Colossians for a year plus, and we are now in chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Colossian Christians and therefore to all Christians about how we are to live, not just individually, but corporately. And we've been in these beautiful pictures of putting on garments. The new man, he puts on garments. And we went into verses about love, charity with each other, peace to rule in our hearts together. So we're going to pick it up today in verse 16. That's the only verse I'll read, Colossians 3:16. In the continuation of Paul's admonitions to the Colossian church, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Amen. Let me pray. Father, this is your word to us. It is the word of God to strengthen and to correct and to teach us, to instruct us in the ways of righteousness, and to help us to grow together in our great Savior. Lord, let your word be alive and fresh and wonderful to your people. Build up your bride. Have the preeminence, our great shepherd, our great Savior, in your name. Amen. Over the years, out where we are, we've received numerous items in the mail that advertise churches. Right? Do you get flyers? Interestingly, we get them here. They come here for our church. They show up on my windshield, like the other day, and then we get printed materials a lot in our mailbox. And when I get them, I'm struck by they're very well designed, full color, they're promotional pieces, and you may be real familiar. I'm assuming that you get them too. Through the years, our designated address for the church has been our home. So if I had kept them since our 17 years of existence, I would have several boxes full. Now, when I get them, I glance at them, and I particularly focus on what they are advertising, because they're sending out literature or promotional materials. And oftentimes when I glance, the things I see are the emphasis on family, an emphasis on children or kids' activities, the emphasis on community, the emphasis on events or amenities, and the emphasis on programs. And sometimes their latest technological additions to what they have. You know what I'm saying. But amazingly, many times the words God or the words Jesus Christ, the word God or the words Jesus Christ never appear. Never. Sometimes through the years I get something, not one word in the entire publication. That tells us something. It's kind of a play on words. It's not really telling us anything, right? But it tells us something about what they're about. Never the words God or Jesus Christ, and you're claiming to be a New Testament church. Beloved, you know this. The Bible, the church, us as individual Christians, the true Christian, is centered on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. He's everything, right? This has been true since he was born in Bethlehem. The great theologians through the ages would say, Philip, it's been true since the beginning of time. The glory of God, the glory of the Son, and the glory of the Holy Spirit, the triune God. That he is the center one, but particularly the second person in the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the main theme, the main one, the main subject, the main focus. Everything centers on him. Therefore, today and this week and whatever days God gives us, he's going to be the preeminent one in everything that we're about at Providence Chapel. He must be always the preeminent one. That would needs to be true in our preaching. It needs to be true in our teaching. It needs to be true in our singing, just like we were doing. It needs to be true in our praying, and it needs to be true in our walking together and serving together and loving and pressing on. He has to be the preeminent one. That's what Colossians 3:16 is saying to us. So Paul, in this list, in this incredible ongoing series of admonitions to the church, he's saying to us that Christ is the preeminent one, and therefore when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, he's saying something pretty big, pretty comprehensive. That is 3:16, according to this letter the Apostle Paul wrote. It is to be so true and so real in us, brethren, that the fullness of Jesus Christ, all that he is, all that he's declared, is to be in us, and it's to be in us corporately. We are exchanging in the fellowship and the realities of Christ, his gospel, his kingdom, his reign, his preeminence. He's everything. That's what we share in. What Mac and I and Krista and Linda have shared in since 1986 together is preeminently Christ. That's what Mac and I, friends for 31 years and counting. It's Jesus Christ. He's our great center of reality, right? So we share in this together. That's what Paul's getting at here. This is very corporate. This is very participatory between one brother and the other and all of the saints in the gathered assembly. So this brings us to Paul's statement in Colossians 3:16, this thing of Christ in us, the word of Christ. We'll take this in two parts. Today, I just want us to focus in on Christ, the word of Christ in us. Christ dwelling in us, as it's rendered in most of the translations. And next time we'll do part two of verse 16, which is Christ being preeminent in our worship, or all that we're about corporately. Beloved, this verse is so packed. I mean, you've known this verse for years, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You hear it. It's a very famous or a popular verse. It is so packed that we just need to slow down and just try to let it blow us away, get hold of us. We need to look at it carefully. We need to consider the depths of what Paul is saying here that relate to the New Testament church. I like what Sam Storm said. He said, sometimes you get to verses and they are bold, underlined, capitalized. I mean, it is like, slow down here, as Sam Storm said. On this verse, he said, I love to feast on this verse. We need to. So today I'd like for us to see three things, or three aspects of what Paul is saying to us in the beginning of verse 16. Now keep in mind, this is all coming as one letter. He's already been exhorting them to the way they walk together in humbleness and in meekness and in forbearance and forgiving. We've been through these, verse 12, verse 13, charity or love being the preeminent of those virtues, of those realities within his people. And he talked about peace in verse 15, that we are to keep and maintain and keep peace within the body. And now that the word of Christ would dwell richly, the word of Christ. There's three aspects here that we'll look at together. First, the very first phrase is, let or make sure of the word of Christ. It is by far the common translation. when you look at the dozens of English translations, it is by far this phrase, let the word of Christ. So what comes to mind initially, the first question is this, what does Paul mean by the word of Christ? This is what we're to have with us, in us, and together, collectively sharing in this together. What does he mean by this? What are you thinking? Does Paul just simply mean the spoken words of Jesus in the four Gospels? The red ink? Since I was a little boy, I've loved Bibles with the red words. Is that all that Paul's speaking about? No, that's not everything. The Apostle Paul, when he says the word of Christ, there's so much more to it than the four Gospels. As glorious, as incredible as those are, as full of redeeming love and atonement and all that's there in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, when he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you rich, he's not just talking about just the Gospels. We're not just going around memorizing pieces of the Gospel, as profitable as that is for us. Paul is speaking of more comprehensively than that, everything that pertains to Jesus Christ. Some of the translations actually use the term the message of Jesus Christ, or instead of the word of Christ, the message of Christ. That causes us to think about what he's saying in a little bit different light, doesn't it? If the message of Christ is what we're to have dwelling in us, what is that? It's everything, it's all of the proclamations in the Bible pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. Which I go back to. How could you produce any literature about the New Testament church if nothing about Jesus Christ is there? It's a complete antithesis of what Paul is saying. He says, this is central. Let the word or the message of Christ dwell in you. The message, he means the entire biblical proclamation or the entire biblical revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his preeminence. The book of Genesis is ultimately about the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ, right? Deuteronomy, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, keeps going. Philemon, they're all ultimately in the truest sense about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul says, let the word of Christ or the message of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you, he's talking about everything. Now we're getting, it's beginning to overwhelm us, right? So what he's talking about. It's all of it. Old and New Testament. 66 books. If somebody said it's just about the Gospels, it is particularly only about what Jesus taught, Sermon on the Mount, all of his other teachings, his parables that Jeff's been going through, if it's only that, you leave 62 books out of the total proclamation of the glory of the God and the glory of his Son. Therefore, it would change what you have dwelling in you. We need to know what Obadiah was talking about, right? We need to know what Exodus is about. We need to have it dwelling in us richly because all of it pertains ultimately to the great Redeemer, Christ, the Lamb of God. So this is amazing. John Daly, back in the 1600s, said this, Christ is the grand subject throughout Scripture. Isn't that a beautiful way of putting it? He's central. He's on every page in the ultimate sense. David, when he writes his Psalms, he's speaking of the great Messiah to come. It's as though they already saw him. In their own way, they beheld him in their own way, even in a prophetic sense. So he is the great subject. So this statement, the reality, beloved, of Paul's statement is not only glorious, it's staggering in its ramifications for New Testament life and practice and what we're about, what we talk about, what we sing about, what we do at our Friday fellowships, what we do at the men's retreat, the women's retreat, prayer meetings, what books we read. You want to put it this way, it means that Christ is marked on everything we're about. It is staggering. Every church in every part of the world, these brethren, when they go back to Switzerland, and others of you, where if you're a visitor, wherever you go back to, the truth is that every church is to have a comprehensive body of truth, a reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ dwelling in them. They're libraries, in a sense, living libraries. active libraries of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all that he said, all that he accomplished. That's what Paul's getting at. We don't just read past this and go, this is interesting. I'm going to get to the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They come out of that. They come out of what he says in the first part of verse 16. Comprehensive realities of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fullness of his message. This is so counter our day. It's not surprising that it's not in this literature, because general movements within Christendom, if you want to say that, are caught up in so many other things. The Lamb is not all the glory in what they're about. I'm just stating it for years of seeing it, reading it, being holding it. But for us, the people of Christ, we are to have his body of truth, his message dwelling in us. So think of this. I'll just spend a few minutes on this. Therefore, at the center of all that we're about in our corporate experience is Providence Chapel. There must be the person and work of Christ at the center. The book we're reading with the men, with the sisters, the ladies are reading, it ultimately has to drive us, move us toward knowing him and living for him and managing all that we have for him. Our lives, our resources, our time, our money. All that he's given us is ultimately about him. He's the center. He's the apex. He's the main thing. I had somebody recently in work ask me about something came up about marriage again. So common, parenting, marriage, things like that come up all the time. And I said to him, well, you have to start that marriage is ultimately about the glory of Jesus Christ with his great bride. You get that started right, then you can let's talk about marriage. You won't talk about something else in marriage without going there? You're missing it. Marriage ultimately is about the glory of Christ and his love for his bride. So let's think on this for a moment. Let me give you some thoughts on this. If the message or the word of Christ is to be dwelling in us, what is the reality of that? I'll give you several topics. Who Jesus is, present tense. We're not talking about him like he's a former president or a former military leader. Who he is. We sing about who he is. We worship who he is. We preach who he is, right? We speak to family and friends about who he is today and forever. Who is Jesus Christ? This is a part of the message of who he is, right? This is what's to be dwelling in us, alive. He is the Son of God as seen in the incarnation. Some people gave a little bit of attention to this over the last month around the Christmas season. He is the Son of God, Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. We ought to be strong in the Scriptures and be able to bring forth Luke 1 and 2 about who Jesus Christ is. A Savior which is born this day, right? Christ the Lord, he's the Son of God. We saw that the angel appeared unto Mary and said, you shall conceive. You will have the Messiah, the Son of God. Incredible realities. These are the things. It's just, I'm going to touch on these. I'm going to move quickly. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. He's the second person in the Trinity. He is the Son. He came from the Father. He has given us in our day the Holy Spirit, right? He is the second person in the Trinity. We ought to be able to articulate and express those things. We sing about that. We worship him in that. He is the promised Messiah that all the prophets spoke of, book after book, writing after writing, looking ahead, longing for that one that would come, Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah chapter 53. This one will come. This one will be sacrificed. This one will give his life. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, right? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. We're talking about Jesus Christ. These are the truths that should dwell in us. This is what we sing about. This is what we possess. This is what we're curators of. Him in us and his truth in us. It's phenomenal, the ramifications. It would keep us in so many ways from tangents and silly programs and stuff that we don't need to be about. Because he's the main thing. Our children and grandchildren, all of these that are here, they need to hear the glory of the Lamb of God. That's what they need to hear about. He's central. We can do other special things along the way as we relate and we're friends and we gather together. We can have special times, but he's the preeminent one. Read Bunyan's The Holy War and you'll see that truth gloriously come alive. Musicians of our day, so-called Christian musicians of our day, create these songs that have nothing to do with the glory of Jesus Christ. I thought it says to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How could you write music and say that you're a Christian if he's not front and center? Journalists, they like to write their articles in magazines and online and chat lines and things. And they like to bring forth stories that supposedly give us new insight on who Jesus Christ is. And they never, ever use this. Oh, beloved, who Jesus is, that's to be dwelling in us richly. Second, his mission. It's absolutely unbelievable to read a caption on one of a major magazine or maybe a newspaper of these, what they'll say that Jesus came to do. Blasphemous would be a mild word. His mission, what is his mission? We're to be possessors of it. He's to rescue fallen man. He came to rescue fallen man. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus Christ saw lost, perishing humanity. He didn't just come to be a good chap, a good buddy. He didn't just come to have t-shirts and bracelets. He came to rescue ruined, miserable, wicked humanity, me and you and everybody. That's what he came to do, to seek and save that which was lost. Why do I say it with such emphasis? Because we hear all kinds of things around us. If the word of Christ and the word of truth in him is dwelling in us richly, we can speak and declare and fellowship in these truths and rightly declare him to our generation. His mission was to be offered as the Lamb of God. Boy, that starts moving out of America into other cultures. Did you say an offering? Yes, I said an offering. Once for all. No more offerings are being given. He is the Lamb of God. He's the perfect one. His mission was to come and present himself, to give himself as the Lamb of God. His mission was to reconcile us to God. Go back to the Isaiah passage, that he might reconcile us, bring us to God. I love that statement years ago John MacArthur said. I don't ask people if they're Christians anymore. I ask them, are you reconciled to God? That changes the question, doesn't it? Wait a minute. To be reconciled implies that there was a problem. Yes, an irreparable problem. You, a sinner, God holy. But Jesus Christ came to reconcile us to God. It's a part of, all I'm doing is emphasizing that the word of Christ, the message of Christ, all of these truths, beloved, should dwell in us richly. I didn't spend time going through the minor prophets and touching them so that we could just categorize them. Those all are giving us the full revelation, the comprehensive truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God saving sinners, God bringing a people to himself. Third, his life. What is the message or the word of Christ pertaining to his life? He fulfilled the law. He took care of all of it. Why would I try to go back and be a lawkeeper in that sense? Why would any of us try to go get into those hundreds of requirements in the law? He fulfilled them all perfectly, satisfied God the Father in all pertaining to the law. Wow, no wonder we sing songs that have that emphasis. His sinless perfection. Lee was dealing with the perfection of God, the only perfect one. Christ, the only perfect man. Boy, you talk about being able to speak truth and sing truth together. Sinless perfection. Hebrews 4, he was like us, yet without sin. Perfect. God required a perfect sacrifice. You see the body of these truths, the realities of these truths? The word of Christ dwelling you richly. We can't pack our message in something like this and send it out. We can try to get to the essence of it. But what we don't want to do is give somebody an idea that we're about a club or some sort of a fancy entertainment system or just be in community. Be in community. Don't hide the great truths of who Christ is. He is what makes us community. He makes us a people set apart unto him. His teachings, I'm still on his life, his teachings. This is to dwell in us richly, his teachings. I've had conversations at times through the years, vocationally and work, and all of a sudden I'll say to him, you know, Jesus said, Wow, it gets very interesting in the eyes of corporate men and other people when all of a sudden Jesus gets the final word on the situation. I promise you. We don't have to do it with an argumentative spirit, but sometimes we just simply say, but Jesus said this, and just quote it. Let it dwell in you richly. Speak it, share it, sing it. Experience it with each other. Fourth, his redemptive work. We've talked about who Jesus is. These are the truths of God. This is the, how can I even do justice to this topic? The message, the word of Christ, 66 books, all that God's declared and revealed in his son, Hebrews chapter 1. Having spoken right to the prophets of old, now he speaks through his son, and he still does. And here, what about his redemptive work? Unbelievable. What our with judgment as well. Full of grace and truth, as the Apostle John said. He, everything that he spoke, was based upon the truths, all that pleased his Father, all that was pure. Somebody wants to tackle who his character is and go after that, they better get their Bible out. These journalists and talk folks that want to say, I think this and I think that, at that point it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Thus saith the Lord. One time my mom, when she was years ago, she had her antique store. Crystal will remember this story. And she had traded in antique quilts and things. And she had her first store down in Roanoke. And I went to see her. And I came in. There was one gentleman there. And my mom said, oh, I'm so glad you came by. He's asking me questions about a portion of the Bible. I'm really not sure what to say to him. I looked at him and I said, what's on your heart? He said, why is the book of Song of Solomon in the Bible? What are you going to say? Are you going to blush? I looked and said, because it's declaring the glory of Jesus Christ and his love for his people. We had just been through, Tom may remember, who's the brother that was Conrad Murrell's, Jack Rich. He had come to Denton that one time and preached through the book of Song of Solomon, as I remember it. And that was fresh on my heart, wonderful, alive. And I looked at him and said it, and he said, I have never heard anybody say that. That's part of your problem. Who are you hanging out with? Are you reading the Bible? And it declares, children, we don't just read the Bible because it's wonderful and it has good things. We read the Bible to know God, to know Jesus Christ. He has revealed himself. His word is living and active. It's not just a good book of virtue and character building. It's the way of life. It's a hard book. It'll crush you. Man, will it ever. If you take the Bible and you set it aside like, I'll get back to that, beware. We are to be about taking it all in. Dwelling. I'm going to get to this. I won't run out of time. His character, full of grace and truth. One other, his ways. We're to know the message in this thing of the word of Christ. What were his ways? The life of holiness. He's the one that said, be ye perfect. Lee quoted that today. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said that, right? You must come to me if you're going to have life. All these things that he said. He said, I'm the way of the truth. Anything that pertains to holiness of lifestyle is front and center only on Jesus Christ. I don't need to hear about any other priest or any other religion in the history of the world. I only want to hear about Jesus Christ. That's how we ought to live. That's how we ought to think. He's the way of truth. What is truth? That's one of the themes in the American culture. What is truth? I think this. You think that. Jesus said he is the truth. Clint prayed this morning, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. What a statement. This very letter. His ways are the way of love and joy and peace. Nothing else offers that. He offers it. He offers it in his redeeming love. So you see, beloved, I could go on. I could say next week we're going to keep going. And the next week we're going to keep going. I'm going to take you to Obadiah. Or I'm going to take you understand the thrust, what Paul's saying. Let the revelation, the proclamation, and the message of Jesus Christ, all of that, rule or be in you, dwell in you. That's where he's going. The word of Christ is not just an add-on. It's the primary influence in our life. Him, Christ in us and his truth. And it's the primary influence or expression within his people. Always has been, always will be. You'll get to go and be with other churches. You got to be with the churches south of us. You'll be with other churches in America. You'll go back. But they ought to all have the centrality and the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. He's the one. If he's not the center of all that we're about, everything we're doing is vain and superficial. We ought to take our publications and get rid of them. We're not sending these out, by the way. Not yet. We might in the days to come. But we ought to just cash everything in if we get secondary. Lee exhorted the men and preached, and we'll probably soon preach here, that we must be awake, not asleep. One of the central ways to do that is to be captivated with the glory of Jesus Christ. Overwhelmed. That if you meet somebody at Burger King or Discount Tire or Walmart or on the streets or in the corporate office or in the classroom and you get nicked a little bit, that the Word of God, the glory of Jesus Christ comes out of you. That it's there. What you sing about, what you hum about. The second phrase, dwell in you. Let the message or the Word of Christ, the enormity of that, dwell in you. What does that mean? I just have a P.O. box for it every now and then. We had a P.O. box years ago. But, you know, you check those things every now and then. That's not what Paul's talking about. You know, I'm talking about a periodic check-in. Tom praying this morning. Lots of Bibles went dust in America. Can you imagine if we asked the American public to bring all their Bibles out one day and just set them by their mailboxes so that major media could just go down streets and film those, see those? It'd be pretty amazing. I don't care what translation. Y'all just relax for a minute. Doesn't matter what translation. If it's supposedly a Bible, set it out there. And then you ask him, how often do you read it? Changes everything, doesn't it? He says, let this word of Christ dwell in you. Dwell is not passive. Dwell is active, very alive, very awesome in its habitation, right? Christ in us, his truth in us. As the guy on the plane said to John MacArthur that time, the Muslim said to John MacArthur, you know God? MacArthur says, yes, and he's in me, meaning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The truths of Jesus Christ, the message of him, in us, dwelling in us, taking habitation, changing, influencing, guiding, leading. It is active. Christianity is not passive. The gospel of Christ is not just out here as an offering. God is in the earth today saving sinners, pursuing them, rescuing them, bringing them into the redeeming love of his Son, and therefore they are coming in to the fullness of these realities. Day after day, week after week, year after year, it's active, dwelling in you. Some of the other words, y'all might want to not let Lee know that I do this, but every now and then I'll go look at like 40 or 60 other English translations. I actually get them all in front of me and look at all of them. And there are some silly translations out there. You would think that Marvel Comics or DC Comics or somebody's writing these silly things. What do they come up with that? But when I sometimes go back and look, step back and look at these phrases and then go look at the Greek words and all, it is fascinating. What does it mean to dwell? I'm having new views of this because Krista and I and my brother-in-law, we've inherited all these properties. And people dwell in those properties. But it means somebody has their home in it. That's where they live. It means they completely fill it. This thing of dwelling. Stay with me here. The word, the truths of Jesus Christ dwelling in you. It means to inhabit entirely. Some people use the phrase, man, that guy owns all of that. He's taken over all of that. Yes, that would be modern lingo, but the truth is there. The picture is there. The body of truth, the realities of Christ, his gospel, his message, his life, his ways, his redeeming love, all that, dwelling in us, actively filling up the house. Krista has a tenant that really has applied that one well. We couldn't get her out. If you want to talk later, we can talk on these things. But you talk about tenants that are supposed to move on, the end of the contract. Y'all staying with me here? You kind of getting it? It's time for them to abandon the premises. That particular tenant's mindset was, I'm here. I'm staying. You don't own the place. But the point being here, the picture is, these truths, this reality of the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ dwelling in us, abiding, staying with us. You don't move from one age to the next and say, well, then I need less of that more. You need more of it. If you've been a Christian 2 years or 25 years, you need more of Him dwelling, His truths, all that He's declared, all that He is dwelling in you day after day. More of that. Because it's transformative. It becomes, as one brother from the centuries of old said, it's a powerful force within us, the truths of God in us. It's a powerful, living, active force within us, the truths of God. Right? Oh, my. What help. What realities in the Christian life. So that tells us, each of us, we don't just read the Bible to know facts about Jesus. We're not just trying to look Him up like we're doing a history paper, or we're going to give a report, or we have to give an update in our work with colleagues. We have to get an update about some technology or whatever it may be, training. We're not studying. We're not knowing Jesus Christ like that. It's not about facts. It's not about a few figures and facts. It's about Him living in us. It's about Him regulating and taking control of the whole dwelling. That's what Paul's getting at. No wonder Sam Storms wants to camp out here. No wonder he said, oh, I get to 316. I want to stop. I want to spend some time here. Because Paul's talking about how the church functions in this reality. He regulates what we're about. Think of this, saints, in terms of our Christian gathering, our church life here. If He's going to dwell in us richly, and I'll come to that last word here in a minute. If He's going to dwell in us, that means the person and work and the Word of Jesus Christ is going to be constantly filling our hearts together. You're going to share answers to prayer. You're going to share realities of what He's done in you, and we're going to rejoice in that together. It's going to fill our hearts. Krista telling me something one evening when I get home, or vice versa, we're talking about what He did today, what He did for me, what He came, He did, what He spoke, what He revealed to me, how He helped me. It's filling our hearts, a brother or sister sharing with another one as we gather, the men's times, the Wednesday prayer meetings. He fills our hearts. Also in the church life, His person, His word, His truth is upon our lips. It's upon our lips. It's what we sing about. It's what we testify about. It's what we encourage each other in. When I was leaving Portland, Maine, in that Saturday night where we got to see the Ramirez children in their Christian school play, which was really quite well done, it was God-honoring, and I met the pastor who was over the church and, I guess, over the school in a sense, and got to meet him. Seemed like a good man. And as I was leaving, I turned to him and I said, remember, brother, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And he just smiled. I'm not sure if he knows who Samuel Rutherford is. He may know him 10 times better than I do. But what I was trying to say to him, I may never see him again. I was trying to say from my lips to his ears, let's let the word or the truths of Jesus Christ rule even our friendship. It's real. His person and his word should govern our actions. Should govern our actions. The truths of that will keep us, the power of that will keep us from so many things that could really get us off course. That his ways and his kingdom and his truths to his church, which are revealed in the scriptures, they govern what we do together, what we're about. One other, his person and his word becomes central. This is where Paul's going. Becomes central in our corporate worship. He becomes the main one. I mean, you don't read posters of a new art exhibit or a new traveling antiquities exhibit that comes to the major city. You don't read about it and then get there and they say, you're looking for all the artifacts, all the amazing things. And all they have is just some little, you know, handmade stuff that one of the local elementary schools made. You get the point? You're looking for the magnificence of what they have said should be there. People flock to this kind of stuff. What do they really want? They want to talk about family. They want to talk about kids. They want to talk about community. They want to talk about programs. They want to talk their life, their marriage, their children. Their lives will be changed if the centrality of all that they're about is Christ. That's where the church should be camped out forever. So he is in our church life to dwell in us. And then Paul says the third word or the third part of the phrase, richly. Richly. Paul, what are you really saying? Super abundantly. Not scrawny little portions. I mean, when I think back when I was a boy and growing up in a Baptist church and some of the little things that we would do, and I was just beginning to understand gospel truths. But we move on. When he becomes our Savior and he dwells in us, we move on. He takes us on. Paul is saying, let these things continue to habitate in you, habitate in this as a people, and let it be richly exploding, if you will. You talk about a treasury. We're a walking treasury. We're a habitation of the greatest thing there is. Him. God in Christ, saving us, living in us. You talk about overflowing. We ought to be ready when we're together or we're with others. We ought to be ready to express that. Enjoy it. Declare it. It's rich. It's superabounding. It's overflowing. It's uncontainable. I mean, that's the truths of the Scriptures. That's the truths of God's people. Some of the translations, at least a couple, I'll let Lee find these later. He might find them. Plenteously. I'm going to allow that very limited, poor translation. I'm going to go ahead and let them use that word. Plenteously. Does Providence Chapel have the word or the message of Christ dwelling in us richly? What do we have in us? What are we known for? What are we about? What do we hunger for? Why do we love each other? Why will we meet together tonight as men? Why are we going to meet Wednesday for prayer? What is my marriage about? What is my view towards my children, my grandchildren, colleagues at work? What's my view towards the mayor of this city and councilman? What's my view in everything? That's the starting point. It's all his. He rules over all. What's my view of the weather events? Where do I start? Where do we start? How do we think? How do we talk? You see, beloved, how permeating this is? You see how it influences everything? It shapes everything? Oh, yes. The message of our great Savior will have a deep and penetrating impact on everything that we're about as a church. Always, always will. You talk about the miraculous, the wonderful, the life-changing things that happen in day-to-day life. Be in his bride where the word of God is dwelling richly, the word of Christ. Well, we'll get to the second part. If it's going to be dwelling there richly, it's got to come out, doesn't it? We've got to share in this together. Max sometimes will communicate to the other elders with songs. He'll just break loose on us with song, asking us to tell us what hymn it came from. But it's a part of just, in that moment, the truths of his Savior dwelling in him richly. Let me close. Beloved, you as the individual, as a redeemed Christian, those of you who are Christians, you are to make sure that his word, his message, his truths are in you. And we collectively are to make sure, according to the commands and the word of God, that we share in those together. You can't hold back from one another. You have to help. I need from you and you need from me. We need from each other. If he's going to dwell in us richly, then we have to share in it together. We have to be in his treasury together. We have to stimulate each other in these things. We have to sing of these things. We have to preach these things. Yes, vibrant, active, living truths, the message of Christ in us. So that what we do, what we're about, he'll always be preeminent. He'll get the glory. He'll be the one we're always dependent upon. He'll be the one we're always celebrating and rejoicing in. He'll be the one that regulates and rules and dwells in our being, dwells in our assembly. He'll take it. He'll own it. May he do that. Amen. Let me pray. Father, with such words like this, we ask you to come with more grace and reality to fill us, to dwell in us more in an extraordinary way of the truths of your Son, the gospel of grace, the realities of walking with you, living the Christian life, and living it together. Dwell in us richly, great Savior. Let all that you spoke, all that you are, all that was declared from Genesis to Revelation, let it be in us, grow us in it, magnify your glory, keep us as a people. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Amen.